So, let's break that down for a moment to find out what conversational aspects of hypnosis we can find in that. First of all, the entire piece revolves around an agreement frame. Now, if you think about the brain or the human mind as having two rooms in it, the no room and the yes room. When people are in the no room, they're more likely to disagree with you. They want to find issue. They kind of have this need to disagree with what you're saying. Also, when in the yes room, they want to agree with you. It's actually easier for them to carry on with what you're doing than to create the mental energy that they need to be able to disagree with you, to break that state of mind. You want people in the yes room because then they will actually be responding to you and agreeing with you and following through with your ideas. And how do you do that? The first thing we're looking at is creating something called a yes set. A yes set gets people in the habit of responding with a yes. It nudges them bit by bit into the yes room. All by itself, it doesn't mean that people will, simply agree with whatever you're saying, but it begins to nudge people in that direction. How are we doing it in this case? Well, we're presenting George with information that he must say yes to. We're asking him to sit down, we're telling him he likes his work, we're listing a whole bunch of things that he can't help but agree with. So when we start implying that there's a solution, at some level his mind is saying yes to that too, and that's where the solution gets created. Now, we're also using embedded commands. In one example, we're saying that it's not right that you shouldn't feel good every time you do that. Now, in fact, that's a suggestion for him to feel good whenever he meets Joe, his current rival at work. Embedded commands, or more importantly, embedded suggestions, are messages you can implant within messages so that consciously they hear one thing, whereas unconsciously another message is being delivered. These are very powerful things that we'll be dealing with soon. There's also a lot of use of implication and assumption in what we're doing. Notice, for example, that we're implying that the promotion won't be given until something happens to resolve this conflict. But I'm not saying it out loud. And even before I give him a chance to consciously analyze whether this promotion thing is a useful carrot or stick to employ, we're changing the topic entirely. We're distracting him from conscious analysis of what's happening. This distraction principle is very, very important. It allows us to use implication and all kinds of other principles to do something I called seeding suggestions or planting ideas in people's minds. The idea is you'll plant an idea or a seed inside the ground, and before they get a chance to dig it up and throw it away, in other words, to critically analyze your ideas, you distract them. You distract them and move on to something else. That idea now begins to take root. You give it time to grow a little bit, maybe through repetition, re-implanting the same idea in different ways over time, so that by the time it comes to you actually stating this idea out clearly or maybe giving an instruction, you have something to work with. We're also using metaphors here. Remember, we talked about storytelling being a very powerful hypnotic process. Well, you're beginning to deliver a little bit of that when you create the analogy of, dog training. You're using the person's own metaphors in order to help them make movement. Finally, we're also using confusion, partly as a distraction technique to take away from the actual ideas we're presenting, but it's also a very powerful way to overload the conscious thinking so that all that they can do is follow your suggestions. In this example, the negative or the confusion is created by such things as using double negatives. You should not feel that. Or playing on the words like left and right. It's not right that you should feel this way until you're left with certain thoughts or ideas inside your mind. This basically makes the mind work double time to try and figure out which of the meanings of right and left are actually appropriate. And whilst the conscious mind is analyzing the appropriate meaning for right and left, the unconscious mind is free to respond to the suggestion. So that's one example. Let's look at another example in the next session.